So we are going to start preaching through Acts in a few weeks, and we're kind of on the road to Acts. You shall receive power. We're going to look at a couple of Psalms this week and next week, and then October 4th, we'll do a first person, not in the book of Acts, but you'll see it jives. And then after that, we will be going through the book of Acts. And most of you guys know, Acts is basically the second part of the Gospel of Luke. Dr. Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, and then he wrote the Acts of the Apostles, or the Acts of the Holy Spirit, as some people say it really should be named. And we see kind of how the church grew from the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to, as we'd finished Luke up some time ago, we'll take up the second part of his work. And it's, for those of you who are like, man, it took us like a year and a half to get through the Gospel of Luke, Acts is much shorter. So, you know, so I don't know. Some of you are like, oh, I want another beefy sermon series. But here we are. So we're in Psalm 91. Let me confess to you, I have this false belief that I hold in my heart, and I know it's wrong. Intellectually, I know it's wrong, but emotionally, I feel like that it's true. I feel like God should always protect me no matter what, that he owes that to me. I feel like he should. I feel like it is God's obligation to protect me no matter what. After all, he's all-loving, right? And so if he's all-loving, he should prevent me and everybody else from suffering anything, any kind of pain at any given time, right? I feel that's true. I know that that's not true up here, but I have this false belief. And I would guess that probably many of you have that same false belief, that God is obligated to protect me at all times. I know it's false that he is not obliged to protect me at all times, because God owes me nothing. He owes you nothing. He is God. We are not. He owes us absolutely nothing. He is not obligated to protect me. Furthermore, I understand that God can have morally sufficient reasons to allow suffering and pain in this life, right? He does, and he can. I don't understand them. I don't know how my suffering right now could help a person a million years in the future, but it can, and it does. So I know that's a false belief. I know that God is not obliged to protect me. However, there is a way that we can get God's protection. How can we get protection from God? How can we get God to protect us? The psalmist this morning says that there is a way to get God's protection. There is a way to, I don't know why I went to 1 Corinthians. There is a way for God to protect us. How can we get God to protect us? Psalm 91, verse 1. The one who lives under the protection of the Most High dwells in the shadow of the Almighty. So the person who has God's protection is someone who dwells in the shadow of the Almighty. Easy, right? Except for what in the world do you mean the dwells in the shadow of the Almighty? Psalmist, which, by the way, I'll probably say David a few times because I want to say that, but this is, it's technically anonymous, which was co-signed by God. But I want the protection of the Most High, the God of the universe who created all things. How do I get that protection? By dwelling in the shadow of the Almighty. Okay, what does that mean? How can I get God to protect me? How can I get God to protect me? So I think what the psalmist is doing here, it's kind of like when I was a kid, I remember there was a period where I didn't want to eat ice cream and like ice cream. I don't understand it either. But so the ice cream truck came by my neighborhood, and my neighbors come out, and they've all got their ice cream and their cones or whatever. Psh, I don't care. Save my money. Except for one neighbor, they had a Super Mario Brothers ice cream bar. And they're like, nom, nom, eating this thing. I'm like, whoa, 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 what is that, right? Like, have you guys seen these? Some of you who are around my age have seen these things before, right? It looks like Super Mario. And it's got like a little gumdrop nose thing. And it's like, this is the most amazing thing. And I was like, how can you get one of those? How can I get one of those? It just, all of a sudden, my love for ice cream came back, right? This is amazing. How can I get one of those? That's the feeling that the psalmist is trying to invoke in us. Although, obviously, much more important than ice cream. Like, oh, okay, God's protection? How in the world can I get protection from the God who created all things? I want that. Don't you want that? I want protection like that. That's the emotion he's trying to invoke. Verse 2. He says, I will say concerning the Lord, who is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. He himself will rescue you from the bird trap, from the destructive plague. He will cover you with his feathers. You will take refuge under his wings. His faithfulness will be a protective shield. You will not fear the terror of the night, the arrow that flies by day, the plague that stalks in darkness, or the pestilence that ravages at noon. Though 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, the pestilence will not reach you. You will only see it with your eyes and witness the punishment of the wicked. So in this section, the psalmist is saying, he's talking about God's divine justice. So he's not just talking about like the general messed upness of the world that God's protecting him from here. He's talking about God's divine justice. And we see that right here at the end. He says, though 1,000 fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, it will not reach you. You only see it with your eyes and witness the punishment of the wicked. So all this stuff that he's talking about, the bird trap, the plague, the terror by night, arrow that flies by day, this was all part of God's divine justice right here and now. We all understand that one day, King Jesus will sit on the throne and he will judge the living and the dead, ultimately. But in this life, there's also justice. God will dole out justice from time to time in this life. You've probably seen people that's happened with. We've seen it in the news when evil regimes are toppled, you know, over and over and over. Osama bin Laden, Saddam Hussein, right? That is the justice of God, obviously working through secondary measures through human agency, but that's the justice of God. God is bringing justice in the life of evil people. He does that. I've seen God's justice before, and it's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying. You think about it like Osama bin Laden, when he was captured and assassinated. There is a part of us that goes, yes, yes, justice is done. But you read about what happened and how they had to do this, and there's like this terror, like, wow, that is some serious justice there. Maybe a better illustration. If you've ever been in a courtroom at a sentencing, and someone who is absolutely guilty, totally guilty of doing some evil, despicable things, the judge goes to sentence them, and you go, thank goodness, they're going away for the rest of their lives. We're never going to deal with them again. You know, yes, amen, praise God. And there's this sigh of relief. Yeah, and there's almost like this gut, like, yes, hooray for justice, right? And I don't think that's wrong. But then the guilty person starts crying for his mother while he's being pulled away into jail for the rest of his life. And there is a somber moment there, like, wow. There's like a terror. So it's like this mismatched of emotions, like, yes, for justice. Oh my gosh, justice is terrifying, right? That's what the psalmist is here. He's saying, God will protect you. For those who dwell in the shadow of the Almighty, he will protect them from his own justice here in this earth. Whatever form that takes. And sometimes God uses armies to bring justice. Sometimes he brings disease to bring justice. I don't think it's wise for us to say, well, that's why this person got sick, because of this. Sometimes it's helpful to say, God, am I suffering because of some sin that I've done? But I don't think it's helpful to point fingers and to say, oh, this other person. But he says, for those who dwell in the shadow of the Almighty, whatever that means, you are protected from this punishment. And there is a joy, a relief, and also a terror that goes along with it. And by the way, he says, verse 4, he will cover you with his feathers. You will take refuge under his wings. Yeah, the image there is like a mama hen gathering her chicks under her arms, her protective wings, when the rainstorm comes or predators nearby. That's the image that the psalmist is trying to give us. But how can we get it? How can we get God to protect us? What does it mean to dwell in the shadow of the Almighty? How can we get God to protect us? Verse 9, because you have made the Lord my refuge, the Most High, your dwelling place, no harm will come to you. No plague will come near your tent, for he will give his angels orders concerning you to protect you in all of your ways. They will support you with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the young lion and the serpent. Okay, so now what he's talking about here The psalmist, I almost said David again, the psalmist is saying that it is like things that you're not aware of. He's going to protect you from things you're not aware of. This is how some of God's supernatural protection is. He protects you from things that you don't even know are there. So he's not saying like, all right, you know, you're under God's protection, so go ahead. Like, you see a serpent, you're like, boom, I killed that because God's protecting me, right? He's like, oh, look at that lion over there. God's protecting me. I'm going to go kick that kitty. Let's see what happens, right? That's not what's happening here. And Jesus, remember, this is the text that Satan used to tempt Jesus. Satan said, throw yourself down from the high point of the temple, and his angels will come so that you won't dash your foot against a stone, right? Which would have been cool, right? Like, you're the Messiah, right? Make your entrance. Could you imagine that? Jesus comes down and then two angels grab him by the arms, does a double backflip, somersault, woo, right? And Jesus rightly says, no, but scripture also says, don't tempt the Lord your God. So don't put God into a place where he's obliged to do anything for you, because he's not. That's not what this text is talking about. That's what Jesus was pointing out. The text isn't saying, okay, you can just live rashly and foolishly in the face of pestilence, in the face of COVID-19, in the face of danger, right? Like, I'm not even going to use stop signs anymore because God's protecting me, right? No. Who needs seatbelt? God is my seatbelt. No. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that God has, if you're under God's protection, He will command his angels to protect you from dangers you aren't even aware of. You're not even aware of. So the plague won't come near your tent. You didn't even know about it. You didn't even know about the plague. He will give his angels concern you to protect you in all of your ways. They will support you with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Didn't know the stone was there. Otherwise, you wouldn't have struck your foot against it. You will tread on the lion. I didn't know I was treading on the lion. And the cobra. I didn't know there was a cobra. You will trample the young lion and the serpent. This section, he's talking about being protected from things you don't even know about. So it's having his angels come and protect us when we don't know about it. It's kind of like when I was in youth group as a kid, we had our youth pastor, Steve Betcher, and he was a really athletic guy. You know, so I always felt sorry for my youth group when I was back in California, like, sorry, I can't live up to that standard. But he was super athletic. And so we would always play these volleyball tournaments and everything. And he usually stayed out of them. But whenever he was like, all right, I'm playing, it was like, yes, if he was on your team. Because if he comes on your team, you're like, yes, because he could beat the game himself. Like, he didn't need teammates. He could run the whole court by himself. That's how athletic he was. And it was, we won. And it was like, well, this is easy. I don't have to worry about the other team. Now we won. And the game hasn't even started yet. Or maybe better yet, what the psalmist is getting at here is it's like toddlers. I'm convinced that toddlers are trying to kill themselves. Right? Those of you who have been parents of toddlers, do toddlers actually think that they're trying to kill themselves, though? No, they're just like, oh, this is interesting. I'll take this metal object and put it into this light socket here. That sounds fun, right? Toddlers are like, oh, okay. Hey, there's something I can climb up that's not bolted to the wall. Let me go climb up that right now, right? They're like, hey, here's like a really steep step of stairs. Let me see if I throw myself off, what'll happen? Woo, right? Oh, here's a small pool of water. Let's just jump in and see what happens, right? Like, they're not actively thinking like, oh, I'm going to, but they're dangerous. It was, I think, one of the most tiring times of my life because they were actively trying to hurt themselves even though they didn't know. And so what does a good parent do? Yeah, you follow them around, you proof your house as best as you can, but eventually what you have to do is like you catch the kid right before they throw themselves down the stairs. You grab them out of the water, right? You yell at them when they're putting something dangerous into the light socket. You're doing all that stuff. That's the image that the psalmist is giving us here. He's saying the one who dwells in the shadow of the Almighty, whatever that means, God sends his angels and will protect you from harms that you're not even aware of. How many car accidents has he saved you from that you didn't even know? How many pedestrians jumped out of the way just in time and you didn't even know you almost hit them? How many bills were miscalculated or rerouted so that that it didn't financially ruin you? How many times has the IRS decided not to do an audit when they could have done an audit? How many times and yeah, we've gone through that before. It's not fun. How many times has there been a disease that you didn't get that you could have gotten? You don't know. I have no clue how many times God has helped me and come to my aid, and I just don't know. You know, he sends the bully down the one way, and I'm going the other way. I didn't know I was about to get beat up. He thought I was going that way. I went that way. Right? I don't know. But the psalmist says, the one who dwells in the shadow of the Almighty can experience supernatural protection from God. How can we be protected by God? He gives us the answer here. And in this last section, the voice changed. So originally it's the psalmist talking to himself, and now it is God himself speaking. Verse 14, that's what's kind of hard sometimes with the psalms, is the speaker changes. You know, kind of like music or poetry, where all of a sudden you're like, well, wait a minute. Or you're listening to a song by one of your favorite artists, and you're like, oh my goodness, I didn't realize they were married and divorced 8 times. I didn't know that, right? And then you like look up, and they're like, well, no, they've been married their whole life to one person. What? Oh, they were taking on a different character in the song, right? So kind of in the same way, this is a different, well, God himself is speaking in this psalm. Verse 14, because he has his heart set on me, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls out to me, I will answer. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and give him honor. I will satisfy him with a long life and show him my salvation. So that's the answer. How can we have God's protection? What does it mean to dwell in the shadow of the Almighty? How can we be protected by God? We can be protected by God if we have a relationship with him. This is all relationship words. He has his heart set on me. He's a person who's affectionately set on God. God says he will come and protect. I will protect him because he knows my name. Not just like, you know, we're friends on Facebook, right? No, it's like, I know you. How do you know him? He calls out to me. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and give him honor. I will satisfy him with a long life and show him my salvation. We can have protection from God if we have a relationship with him. Now, this text isn't talking explicitly about what that protection always looks like. This isn't a full systematic theology and explanation about, you know, how God's protection actually works. And it's not to say that, it's not a what the protection looks like. It's a how you get that protection. And how you get that protection is by being in an in-depth relationship with God. Secondly, it's not saying that you will never face trials, you will never face difficulties, you will never have pain or experience loss or deep hurt in this life. That's not what he's saying. What he is saying in verse 15, when he calls out to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and give him honor. So he's not saying, hey, you're never going to go through anything if you're on God's side and if you have God's protection. But he is saying that when you are going through life, if you are close to God in relationship, he will walk with you every step of the way and he will ultimately rescue you. And we know as Christians, if you are going through difficulties, if you're going through hardships, if you experience pain and suffering in this life as a Christian because of Jesus Christ, at the end of days, when King Jesus comes back to set up the new heaven and new earth, his followers will be on top. All of the enemies, all of the hurt, all the pain, as Paul says, is not worth comparing to the future glory that is in Christ Jesus. How do we get this protection? Protection from God's justice in this life and in the life to come. God's protection that he sends his angels to protect you from things you don't even know about. You have a relationship with him. As Christians, we understand this in the Old Testament. It was a matter of go and continue to do the sacrificial system as you are going into the tabernacle or later the temple. As Christians, we understand this more fully. We understand that how do you get into the relationship with God? It is by trusting that Jesus died for your sins and rose again. So you repent of your sins, and then you believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose again, and you enter into a relationship with God. But that's not where it stops. You want to go deeper in that relationship, right? You can't. It's not just a get out of hell free card. You need to go deeper and deeper into that relationship. The image that the psalmist is giving here is the image of it's like the to steal a line from Johnny Cash's excellent song "When the Man Comes Around." Go ahead and look it up and listen to it. It's fantastic. The father hen calls his chicks home. I know hens are girls, but that's the image that the psalmist is giving us here, is the image of a mother chick gathering her chicks close. That's the protection of God. It's the image of a father, a loving father, holding his daughter when she's scared. That's the protection of God. It's like being wrapped up in a snuggly blanket. You know the kind I'm talking about, like the softest one that all the kids fight over because that's the one that they want. It's like that. That's what his protection is like. Knowing that no matter what happens, he has you surrounded. He cares for you. He loves you. He will walk with you every step of the way. It doesn't mean there's no pain. It doesn't mean there isn't sorrow. It doesn't mean there isn't trial. It doesn't mean there isn't adversity. But it means that God will walk with you every step of the way. And at the end of days, you will rise to the top. You will be on top because of King Jesus. Now, it's not just a matter of coming to faith in Jesus. That's how you get into the relationship. How do you have a close relationship? Well, think about those chicks, right? Some chicks are like, hey, I'm going to go over here. Woo! Right? And they go way off into the woods and they're like, you know, eaten by raccoons or whatever. Right? The image the psalmist is giving us here is be a chick that stays close to the mother hen. The psalmist is saying, stay close to the Father God. And how do we do that? Yep. We could be a little interactive here. What are ways that you get close to God? What are ways that you go deeper in your relationship with God? Prayer. Yep, absolutely. What else? Yeah, reading scripture, absolutely. Right? And this is an oversimplification, but it's a helpful simplification. We talk to God through prayer, and we hear from God through the Bible. Which is why preaching is important, because you actually get to hear the word of God out loud. According to Martin Luther. It's helpful. What else? Yeah, trust. Whew. You have some testimonies I'm sure you could give, Linda. What else? Yes, service. Absolutely. Right? I'm convinced that the number one way that most people will grow in their faith with Christ is through service, serving others, especially people who can't pay you back. It is through service. It is through service. Absolutely. What else? Happen to be doing it right now. Oh, yeah. Yeah, evangelism, hearing about their salvation, absolutely. What worshiping, right? Through music, through song, coming to church. Pastor Darren said on Facebook feed for the 9 o'clock service, fellowship with other believers. That it is a lie to think it's just Jesus and me. That sounds so good, right? Like, oh, it's just Jesus and me, right? That sounds good. It's not. Everything in the New Testament assumes that you are in, actually in the Old Testament too, that you are in a community of believers. Iron sharpens iron. We need each other. We're called the body of Christ. We're called the bride of Christ. Collectively, no one is all parts. No one has all things. No one has all gifting. We need each other. That's how we grow deeper in our relationship with God. Through things like prayer, through scripture reading, through worship, through fellowship. And prayer, you know, I don't do this perfectly, so I'm not trying to, but one of the things I try to practice, and I've been trying to practice really for like the last 15 years, imperfectly at times, and there's seasons where I don't practice it at all, but is almost like never hanging up the phone on God. Like I've always got the thing going on, right? If we're playing video games with my kids, I'm like thinking and praying, like, oh, praise God, this is a good moment, God, you know? Oh, Lord, thank you that I was just able to school them in this video game right now. Thank you. That's a good moment. They need to learn some humility. Maybe me too. Or going for a walk. Wow, Lord, what beautiful nature this is. Or if I'm not feeling well, Lord, please help me to get through this. Or if I'm frustrated at work, or if I'm facing difficulties, right? Like all that stuff. Just never hanging up the phone. Always having that dialogue going. I found that to be very helpful. And you might find that helpful too. So the psalmist says, you can have protection from God. Protection that no one else has. The rest of the world does not have access to it. He will protect you from things you are completely and utterly unaware of. You have protection from justice in this life if you have a close relationship with Him. That's what it means to dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. Work on your relationship with God. You can never go so deep. Some theologian who I can't remember said, we are all in the kindergarten of prayer, meaning no matter how deep you get in your prayer life, you always feel like you're in kindergarten and there's always so much deeper to go. And that's not a discouragement, that's an encouragement. We can always go deeper in God. We can always grow closer. The one who dwells in the shadow of the Almighty is under His protection. If you want to be protected by God, grow in your relationship with Him. Again, it doesn't mean you won't have trials. It doesn't mean you won't have difficulties, but it does mean that God will be with you every step of the way, no matter what. Be like little chicks and gather under the wings of the Father Hen. Let's pray. Father, I pray for us specifically during this time of COVID-19, Lord, where we are hard-pressed, and I pray for your physical protection for this church. I pray for the protection of our health. I pray for our emotional protection. I pray for our spiritual protection. I pray for our financial protection, our mental protection. I pray for our political protection, Lord. There is so much going on. And you have promised us that in Christ you will never leave us or forsake us, and that as we draw near to you, your protection will be incredibly evident. May we be people who are desperate for you, Father God. May we be people who realize that we are bankrupt apart from Christ, that we need Jesus every minute of every hour. Help us to cry out to you for help in our national devastation, that we will look on with our eyes and see that there is a God in heaven who protects his children, his baby chicks. Father, we are helpless. Help us in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.